I can't emphasize enough the need for our grassroots. I need members so I can match them to legislators when we do our outreach via email, et cetera. And I need record attendance at CPA Day on January 24th. I got to have a lot of foot soldiers that are making connections to all these new legislators and old legislators and say, these issues are important to us and here's what we want you to do.
Welcome to a new year of Future Proof, friends. I am your host, Bill Sheridan. Just a quick note to tell you that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, this is a big month for CPAs in Maryland and throughout the country, really. In Maryland, our General Assembly begins its annual session on January 9th. And not a single bill has been introduced yet, and it's already shaping up to be an extraordinarily busy session for those of us who are trying to protect the profession. For CPAs nationwide, of course, tax season, it's getting ready to ramp up too, and there are a number of issues that are already complicating things for tax practitioners. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is one. The Supreme Court's Wayfair decision is another. The federal government shutdown is yet another. So things on the legislative and regulatory front are chaotic, in a word, but that's why we're here, right? State CPA societies like the MACPA, this is our bread and butter, protecting the profession, protecting your livelihood, protecting your clients. This is a huge part of why we're here. So we're going to talk about all of that stuff today, what's happening, how it impacts you and your clients, what we're going to do about it, what you can do to help us. And leading that discussion this week is Tom Hood. He's the CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs. He's been a guest on the show a couple of times before, and he has his fingers on the legislative and regulatory pulse of this profession, perhaps better than anyone else I know. So as we stroll into legislative season, I wanted to find out from Tom what issues he's watching, and it turns out that there are some really big issues that we need to be paying attention to over the next few months. We'll get to all of that here in a few minutes. First, here's what caught my eye this week. It's a report from the Ohio Society of CPAs, which earned a pretty significant legislative victory in December. It started back in February of last year when Senate Bill 255 was introduced. The OSCPA says that bill would have given Ohio legislators, quote, the power to review all occupational licensing boards to see if their continued existence and related continued licensure of professionals is necessary to protect the public interest. The bill gives legislators the power to recommend changes ranging from more limited licensure requirements to no licensure at all when they think licensure requirements go beyond the least restrictive means to protect the health, safety, or welfare of the public. End quote. So you can see that bill as written could have been a threat to the very existence of the CPA license in Ohio. Now, thankfully, the OSCPA urged lawmakers to give CPAs a safe harbor from the new policy, and they did. In a lame duck session in December, lawmakers voted to give the profession that safe harbor. Indeed, according to the OSCPA, CPAs are the lone profession that earned a safe harbor from that Ohio bill. So that's the power of legislative advocacy right there. Professionals stepping in to educate lawmakers about the potential unintended consequences of the laws they pass. Here's another example. In Maryland, last year, CPAs answered the legislative call in a couple of crucial ways. First, MACPA members testified in support of two emergency bills that helped restore the deductibility of health savings accounts and high-deductible health insurance plans in Maryland, which had been unintentionally jeopardized by a law that had been enacted back in 2016. So that was key. Then the MACPA State Tax Advisory Group provided some much-needed guidance to lawmakers after state officials reached out to us to advise them on dozens of proposals to adjust Maryland taxes in light of the Federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. So again, stepping in to protect the profession as lawmakers do their job. It's hugely important. And Tom Hood says we will likely need CPAs to come to the rescue again this year. He says he's hearing rumblings that tort reform and sales taxes on services could be in play in Maryland's General Assembly this session. Also, Maryland may be next in line to enact its own version of the UK's General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, law, which is designed to protect citizens' privacy. That could have a huge impact on what information that, say, tax preparers can collect. And that Ohio issue regarding the review of licensing boards, that kind of caught Tom's eye as well. Tom says that bears watching. It's been an issue in Louisiana and Ohio now, and although CPAs were successful in protecting their profession in both cases, Tom's worried that issue potentially could spread to other states as well. So just a ton of stuff happening on the legislative front these days. Tom and I talked about all of those issues and more. Important stuff here, folks. Take notes. Here's Tom Hood. So Tom, thanks for being here today. You sent out a message to some members, specifically managing partners of Maryland firms not too long ago, in which you kind of raised the red flag about some potential issues that you were hearing about that might surface during the upcoming session of our General Assembly, which opens on January 9th. So let's talk about each one of those real quick, and maybe you can explain a little bit about what's going on there and what you're hearing. The first one you said was firm liability or tort reform, comparative fault. This is an old favorite of the MACPAs. We watch this issue every year, but tell us a little bit about what this is and why it's important to CPAs.
So I'm going to actually start with the why thing, Bill. I mean, interesting enough, what does a bad piece of legislation, I call it a bad bill, cost our profession or our members? So comparative fault is an effort by trial lawyers who want to change the way they lawsuits around liability, professional liability or general liability, in fact, is calculated. And Maryland is one of only a few states left that have a doctrine called contributory negligence, which means if you contribute to the negligence, you can't sue. So it eliminates a lot of these, we would call it frivolous lawsuits. What the trial lawyers want instead is a doctrine called comparative fault, in which case they try to allocate liability like baloney, and they slice it up and say, you know, Bill, you're 10% at fault, Joe is 20% at fault, right, et cetera. Now, the fallacy in this is the people that have insurance, which happens to be CPA firms or CPAs often, is that they end up bearing almost all the liability when everyone else can't pay.
They've got the deep pockets, in other words.
Exactly. So the issue is, if that law passes, we know, because we've talked to Aon, the liability carrier, et cetera, professional liability insurance for CPAs will go up. So will general liability policies in the state of Maryland for any business. In addition, now that there's a way of calculating liability and spreading it out, there's more ways for lawyers to argue, which means there's more reasons to have a lawsuit. So in other words, they can say, well, you're 20% at fault, and that's where they actually string out all the defendants that they want to bring into a liability, see who can, you know, who they end up getting money out of. So that's one that it's been evergreen, but there's been an editorial in the Daily Record in Maryland from, I don't know if it was a legislator or a trial lawyer, but effectively it's saying it's time for Maryland to move to comparative fault. And so the risk is high. The trial lawyers are the most powerful lobby in Annapolis. They contribute annually $350,000 or more in their PAC. So it's a very, very big issue, and it's going to be really hard with a brand new legislature that doesn't know this issue well to fight against.
Yeah, tell me again, how many legislators are brand new this year? It's something like 31%.
31%, 58 new legislators out of 188. And the Judiciary Committee on the House and the Senate both have significant turnover, which means we typically only win that vote by one or two votes in those committees. And now that's a complete wild card, Bill. And on top of it, we don't have key person relationships with all the new members of the legislature. So thus, CPA Day, more important than ever, grassroots, more important than ever.
Yep, yep. And we'll get to CPA Day here in just a second. So and obviously, we're going to be coming out against this particular piece of legislation. And you're, do you know, do you have any grasp, like how likely it is that we'll see something surface?
I think it's close to 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what changed from the midterm when we started. We had a call with our managing partners to literally 2 weeks later. We literally have heard there was a draft of the bill being started, and then we saw this editorial in the Daily Record. You know, this is the time the trial lawyers would try it, because it's a new legislature and they can kind of try a whole new batch of folks.
Yep. Yep. All right. So on to another oldie but a goodie for us. This is sales tax on services, including services that CPAs provide. We've been opposed to this for a long time. Tell me what's new about this one.
So there are two things new. One is, I guess it's not totally new, but we're looking at, I think, a significant budget surplus. The comptroller, Francho, reported that at our CPA luncheon a week or so ago. Yet there's two commissions, one on healthcare and one on education, that are saying the sustainability of Maryland's programs in those areas, some of it affected from the Affordable Care Act, both of those are going to require significant funding in the future, creating a structural deficit again in Maryland just after it got fixed. So what does that mean? That means the state needs revenue. And so what they're going to do, which is what they do every time, is they say, well, we're moving from a manufacturing economy to a service economy. Mm-hmm. So then our source of revenue should be based on those services. And that's what they're going to go after. So then it's like a basket of services. CPA services, accounting, tax, and consulting are probably worth $750 million to $1 billion.
Wow.
So when they look at in aggregate what they could get from that 6.5% sales tax, it's pretty significant. Now, go in step with that. I just saw a report from the AICPA and our colleagues around the country, and I think there are now 10 states that have tax on services, including CPA services. So that's the other part, is we're now seeing a trend in other states that's making this more mainstream, which also just kind of brings that, you know, tailwind behind this kind of an issue.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is one that will be coming out in opposition to should it surface. Third one is kind of interesting one, and it's brand new, sign of the times, I guess. It all centers around this idea of data collection and data privacy, and it's related a little bit to what's going on in the EU with their GDPR legislation. Tell me what this is and why we're watching it.
So this follows our whole hard trend notion, and we've been predicting that based on our work with Dan Burris about, okay, regulatory and legislative is a hard trend. It's going to increase year after year. We're living that. But GDPR coming from EU, if any of our firms or companies do business internationally, they're going to have to comply with it. But this is kind of the ramifications of the Facebook and Google issues about having all your data, what they're doing with your data. The EU has taken a position that you as an individual should own your data, and they should tell you what they have, and you should have the ability to get your data back and know what they have, right? That's the basics around it. So it's a build on what has been already privacy and legislation in the states, but this is much, much, much more stringent. California is the first state to take it and make it deep, and it's pretty far-reaching. So here's our worry. What will happen is when this comes into Maryland, which I'm going to expect it probably will this year, it will come in with this idea that we have to do this privacy thing. Well, the first thing they're going to say is one of the critical pieces is all the data about like your Social Security and your employer information, right? All those kind of things. Well, guess what is required for a CPA to file your taxes? Okay.
All of that information.
Yeah. So what happens is that legislators are not worrying about what a tax preparer needs, right? Or a CPA. So they're going to make the law very stringent, and it's going to outlaw that type of data. I will guarantee you that. It's already happened before in the first privacy law. Mm-hmm. So let me kind of give you how the story ends. So they're going to make the law. Hopefully, I don't know if we'll get in there right in the front of it. We're going to try. But if not, we have to go and try to respond, get it fixed on the fly. It's going to have a lot of momentum because it's going to feel like we got to do this. Everyone's all upset about Google and Facebook. Mm-hmm. So in that kind of environment, they don't like amendments very much. They don't like carve-outs or amendments. So it's going to be hard getting this stuff in. So what happened last time is the law passed and we couldn't get it changed in time. And so suddenly all tax preparation and collection was outlawed if you needed that information. So we had to go to actually, was Delegate Feldman at the time, who was a CPA in the legislature and member, and he actually helped us go to the Attorney General and say, Mr. Attorney General, you've now outlawed tax preparation in the state of Maryland. So, and not only that, here's the funny thing. They actually outlawed the comptroller from collecting taxes because he couldn't get that information. He couldn't file a tax return. And so with the comptroller, we went to the Attorney General and got it overturned. But that's my point. I think I'm expecting that kind of craziness to happen again. We're going to try to be proactive and prevent it, but you never know from that standpoint.
Yeah. All right. So three hot issues to watch when the General Assembly comes back in. There's some other stuff going on here in Maryland and elsewhere that is kind of interesting as well. One of the issues centers around, for lack of a better word, potential threats to the CPA license, and specifically something that's happening in Ohio. Tell me what you're seeing and why this is important.
Yeah, I think the Ohio development, which just came out, is actually what got me. I would now change this from a new issue to a high-risk issue. This is an effort where states are trying to get mobility for their citizens, and some groups are questioning the validity of all of these occupational licenses that you see. So, you know, Maryland's got like 20 licensing boards, everything from tattoo artists to cosmetologists to dentists to CPAs, right, to engineers, electricians. So there's one group that says this is a barrier to employment, right? If you have to go get a license, you're really just protecting your turf, and why don't you let the market decide? So why do you need a doctor that has a license, Bill? You should just go to any doctor who advertises and let the market decide. So if he does bad work on you and you die, your family can sue, but it's not a licensed person, doesn't have, you know, so it's like that kind of notion where they're saying, I think it's better to have no regulation than regulation. Mm-hmm. Now, the other part of this, which makes it even more complicated, is there's a legitimate idea in the occupational professions as they are. In other words, if I'm a cosmetologist in New Mexico and I want to move to Maryland, mm-hmm. I got to go take the cosmetologist test in Maryland.
Right.
Barrier, right? I can't come and start working.
Right.
So the interesting part about this is the far right and the far left both agree that this issue needs to be solved for different reasons, but they agree on the solution, which is get rid of licensing boards. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, when you start that conversation, all licensing boards come under scrutiny. So then CPAs get put in the mix with, you know, cosmetologists and tattoo artists and engineers and everybody else. So in Ohio, that's what scared me. This happened in Louisiana last year. Louisiana Society of CPAs fought it and won, but it was all reaching. And then we see the same thing in Ohio, which is a bigger state, more complicated and less likely to have this kind of craziness. So when I saw that this past week, I'm like, whoa, this is moving around the country at a rate that I did not expect. So I would have said it's low risk in Maryland. Now, let me go real quick to the solution. We have mobility in our profession, and that's exactly how Ohio beat this bill. Our profession is one of the most mobile in the country. So if you are a CPA in New Mexico and you want to move to Maryland, no problem. You can come and start working. So that's number one. We took a lot of hard work to get that across the country. Secondly, we have a separated state board. So we're not in the complete umbrella of all the other occupational licenses in Maryland the way many other states are because of what we did for CPAs. We moved us up into a separate fund, which means all your licensing fees go into the state board of accountancy and it doesn't go into the general fund. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times states are doing this Because it sounds good for the citizen, but even better is it saves money to the state and they can cut back on their regulatory general fund.
I gotcha.
So we've got two good defenses. Should it happen? I have no idea whether it's going to happen or not, but seeing it moving around the country gives me pause.
Right. As if, you know, all of that weren't enough. There's this other thing out there called Wayfair that is complicating things on a state level. And I'm just reading here to make sure that I get this right, because it is a complicated issue, but it's a Wayfair, that the Supreme Court's decision in 2018 to strike down, I guess it was a 1992 ruling that established a physical presence threshold for when states could tax remote sales. So in other words, you no longer need to have that physical presence in order to tax those remote sales. So, and we're already seeing movement by a number of states kind of rushing out there to adopt their own rules and regulations in regard to this stuff. And Maryland actually did take action, did they not? Kind of late 2018, they adopted some emergency rules. Do you recall what those say?
Well, effectively, they're modeled after the South Dakota. South Dakota is the state that took action against Wayfair and won. And Maryland is very similar to South Dakota, as I understand it. And so it basically means, I think the threshold's $100,000 in sales. But if you have $100,000 in sales electronically over that, you're going to have to start collecting sales tax regardless of the jurisdiction. This idea is called Nexus. And obviously, we have a lot of state tax experts that can tell you a lot more. But it means, here's the big thing, I think, Bill, for our members, is our insurance carrier, Aon, sent out an alert and said, if you're a tax preparer, CPA, and you don't let your clients know that since Wayfair, if they have any kind of e-commerce, that their sales tax methodology will most likely change. If you don't advise them of that and say, get help if you can't help them, then you could be sued for malpractice and they would win. And Aon expects that to be one of the biggest claims they're going to deal with this year.
Interesting. So good to know for CPAs out there that have clients like that. Man, so this is shaping up to be a pretty unusually busy General Assembly session. Would you agree? I can't recall, before a General Assembly session starting, looking at a list of issues that could be as impactful as these, with a high likelihood of actually seeing them surface in the General Assembly. I mean, what do you think about it?
That's absolutely right. We haven't seen these in I don't think I've seen these in my 21 years here.
That's crazy.
So in addition, we're going to try to pass firm license mobility in a proactive way. So we've gotten that ready. We're trying to find a sponsor and we'll be putting that in as well. But against the backdrop of, you know, 31% turnover in the legislature, Bill, new committee assignments, it's going to be a whole new day in Annapolis. And I can't emphasize enough the need for our grassroots. I need members so I can match them to legislators when we do our outreach via email, et cetera. And I need record attendance at CPA Day on January 24th. I got to have a lot of foot soldiers that are making connections to all these new legislators and old legislators and say, these issues are important to us and here's what we want you to do.
So for the uneducated out there, tell us what CPA Day is and what they can get out of it.
So one day, if you want to take care of your profession and your license, it's the one thing you should do. And members love it, by the way. It's a half day. You're going to come down there in Annapolis, 7:30. We meet at the Governor Calvert House right across from the state capitol. We give you a briefing. We map you to your districts and your senators. So every CPA's got one senator and three delegates. And then we march you up by district to the legislators' offices for meetings. So we give you a briefing. You go up there at between 8 and 10. The legislators come in and vote at 10 o'clock in the state house, and you guys come back. We do a debrief, and we send you on your way. So it's, you know, literally 4 or 5 hours. You get a couple hours of CPE, but the impact is incredible when you meet with your legislators and face-to-face say, I'm a CPA in your district. This is important to us. Then when the bills come up, we send you a note and say, hey, Bill, would you write, here's an email, send it to your senator. hey, I saw you at CPA Day. Can you vote against this bill? That's how we stop the trial lawyers' money, right, is with grassroots. So that's how it works. And it's essential this year.
And it's free.
And it's free.
And here's what I mean. I've been to CPA Day a number of times. And what I'm always, what always impresses me about it is, you know, it can be intimidating for someone who hasn't done this before to go and actually talk to a legislator, right? It's like, why would they ever want to hear what I have to say? But the reality is those legislators are dying to hear what you have to say. That's how they become educated on these things. And I think knowing that makes it that much easier to you know, go into this thinking that, okay, I actually can make a difference.
Exactly. And that's why we just need our members to be present this year.
So tell me again, CPA Day, it's going to be
January 24th, 7:30 in the morning. And registration's on our website. It's free. And we will then we march up and get a state house picture and everything else. So it's usually pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a great day. One last question, just kind of on a different note here, Tommy. I know you just finished up your autumn round of town hall meetings and professional issues updates. For those of you who aren't aware, Tom does two rounds every year, one in the fall, one in the spring, gets out and talks to just thousands of MACPA members around the state. What are you hearing from CPAs after this round of town hall meetings that kind of stands out for you? Any big ahas out of these latest round of meetings?
I think the biggest aha this round, it's been a great, we probably saw, I bet, 15% of our members in this 7 town hall series all over the state. I think the biggest takeaway for me is they do believe that all of this technology we've been talking about. I mean, Samantha, our chair, has been out there talking about her experience with AI as a small firm, bots, you know, all the stuff that's going on with bots and even that we're going to be deploying here. I think the technology hard trend area, they're finally going, wow, this is real and we need help trying to figure it out. I think that would be one thing. The other one is we're asking them about their, what they value most that we do. And number one and two are advocacy and keeping ready. So yeah, interesting.
So I'm sorry, Tom, so you broke up there a little bit. You said advocacy and what was the other one?
Helping them be future ready.
Got it. Okay.
So all the work that we're doing in education, the stuff that we do at our summit, et cetera, those and our town halls, right? Keeping them up on the trends, explaining what the trends mean and how they can begin to start preparing for them. That's what they're valuing a lot. So, you know, we're telling them about our future-proof podcast, the stuff we're doing in the future-ready curriculum area, you know, in addition to that tried and true stuff. And then obviously advocacy, that's the whole point of today's podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, great stuff. And thanks again, Tom, for your time and your insights. Always a pleasure. And I will see you in Annapolis.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill.
That was Tom Hood, CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. So a few key ways you can help us out this legislative season. First, as Tom mentioned, attend CPA Day in Annapolis. Our legislative efforts really start here. It's scheduled for January 24th, CPA Day in Annapolis. It's your opportunity to speak directly to your legislators about important matters that impact our profession. We'll brief you on the issues so you know what to tell your legislators. The event is free for MACPA members and includes 2 hours of complimentary CPE. You'll find details at macpa.org/CPA Day. Our voice in Annapolis becomes louder the more people who join us at CPA Day. So mark that on your calendars. Next, contribute to our PAC. When you or your organizations contribute to the MACPA's Political Action Committee, you enable us to keep our agenda in front of the legislators who can dramatically affect our profession and our clients. And an important note here, membership dues do not support any direct lobbying efforts on behalf of CPAs. That's where you come in. You can make a donation at macpa.org/advocacy. And finally, get active. Consider joining the ranks of the MACPA's legislative volunteers by agreeing to meet with legislators or to testify before key General Assembly committees about whatever issues come up during the profession. And I'm sure we'll need lots of help as this session goes on. There will be plenty of volunteer opportunities for everyone. I have no doubt about that. So consider joining our legislative volunteer ranks. Some great ways that you guys can get involved in our legislative advocacy efforts. And one more quick shout out to our sponsor this week, the Business Learning Institute. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you and your career by visiting blionline.org. That's it. See you next week.